I was standing by the door just in case he did come. Waiting for him. Well, variety is the spice of life. I had no idea that this was going to happen, and isn't it wonderful that the Lord has his own way of sometimes correcting things that are not after the order in which we think they're going to be. And I thought this morning, this is a message that I had for another place, and I've been there just recently. John chapter 3. This is that chapter in the Bible that deals with a problem that a very religious man had in understanding the plans and purposes of God. And there's nothing new about that. It seems like if there are those that truly get confused and just can't seem to understand the mind and the will of God as revealed in the Word of God, it is religious people. And if you think about it, the very minute you depart from what is given in the Word of God, that's when you get in trouble. That's when problems begin to develop. When you depart from what saith the Lord in His Word. This man that we're going to look at this morning had a special problem. You say he's a very religious man. Yes, very religious man. But for some reason that we will look at a little later, his problem was not uniquely one that just belonged to him. There are literally a whole lot of people in the world today that are still in the dark when it comes to understanding the mind and the will of God regarding how to know God and how to know the will, the plan, and the purposes of God. So I think that's one of the highlights that you find in John chapter 3. I'm going to read beginning at verse 1. John chapter 3. Before we do, let's have a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for the privilege of gathering together this morning, unmolested, enjoying the freedom that our land affords us to open the Word of God. We're so thankful that we have enjoyed this liberty for all the years that our country has been established. We pray that it will endure to the very end. We do pray, Lord, as we think about the wisdom of the words that we're about to read, and we certainly would pray that any person in this room that has never read this passage, and those that have read it and do not understand the meaning of being born again, that it indeed will be made crystal clear to them this morning. And of course, Lord, most of all, that soul that may never have trusted your Son as Lord and Savior, may that be their experience this morning. Pray for our brother John Gordon. We are indeed disappointed that he didn't come, but your will be done. And all for your glory and honor we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth whereth it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. And so is every one that is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Well, there is a dilemma here. There's a problem here. God has no problems. He said, he's got a lot of problems with you and me. Oh, no. Not one of us is any problem with God. God has no problem. Because the wisdom of God, it supersedes and goes before any of the problems that have ever developed in this world in which we live in today. Nothing happens and catches God by surprise. God has no problems. The unexpected sometimes is what creates problems for us. Here's a man, I said he's a very religious man, he's a Pharisee. And Pharisees were supposed to know. They wanted the respect of people. They did a lot of things that indicated that they really wanted the respect of people, and they wanted to be recognized by people as being superior, perhaps, to the everyday run-of-the-mill person. Special. Very special. I believe there's a real danger there when a person begins to have some of those elevated impressions about how important they are and how wonderful they are. You know, they're standing right on the brink of a real disaster. In this case, this man, even though what we've read about him, I wish that I could tell you that I think he got everything straightened out as a result of what the Lord Jesus said to him. But he didn't. He didn't. He still did not understand what our Lord was talking about when he said, You must be born again. Well, does it come any surprise to you that there are a lot of people today that still do not know what you're talking about when you read the Scriptures and when you ask them, Have you been born again? Some people even introduce themselves as being, I am a born-again Christian. Well, I have to remind you, there is no other kind. If you're not born again into the family of God, if you haven't had a spiritual birth, listen, listen carefully. You're in the same boat with Nicodemus. You don't belong to God in the sense that you have salvation, all of your sins are forgiven, and you're on your way to heaven. You don't know God apart from the spiritual birth that our Lord is seeking to make real to Nicodemus. I think one of the dangers is when you think you know all that needs to be known, be careful. You better keep searching. Keep searching. The finality of what the Word of God has to say about this business of being born again is certainly borne out in this passage, because our Lord kept making the statement, ye must be born again. You must. Are there any options? No options. No options. Now, this may come as a surprise, but a person may receive Christ, truly receive Christ as Lord and Savior, and still not know that they've been born again. It's a spiritual birth. It is mysterious. It takes place in that moment when an individual who is dead and trespasses in sin, and that's what the Scripture so carefully reminds us. We are by nature sinners, and we stand guilty and condemned before God. And you can recognize that state, and you can reach the point where you say, yes, and I want to see it corrected. I want to get that matter settled. If there's an answer to it, I want to know how to be right with God. Well, some people even deny that, don't they? I am not a sinner. Oh, you're not? No. I am a good person. I've always been a good person. Not mean, not contemptible. I was raised in a home, in a family, where everybody was a good person. My earliest memories of what we did as a family goes back to regular church attendance. I was baptized when I was a child. You ever heard that one? I know I'm right with God. I started off right. My family, my parents made sure that I was right with God from the very moment I came into the world. We'll not recognize that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what God says in His Word. Are we going to believe that our circumstances, something that we created in our own minds, something that is acceptable to the world we live in today? Many people would agree with anyone that said that. Yes, that person is a good person. I would recommend to anyone that they could trust that person. Loyal in every way. They demonstrate in their lives. They don't want to hurt anyone. They love everybody. You go on and on. That will not change it. If you've disobeyed what God requires as that divine standard for being acceptable to Him, you're still lost. You're still lost. There's no way to explain it other than that. Born into the world as a sinner, came into the world with the nature of Adam, every one of us, of Adam's race. There needs to be a change taking place. This is God's plan all along. Again, not caught by surprise. Knew exactly what was going to happen with Eve and Adam and there in the garden and Satan there and temptation and disobedience and the results of all of it. It didn't catch God by surprise. He knew exactly what was going to happen, but He had a plan. He had a plan to rectify all that had gone wrong. Now, isn't it wonderful that you can make changes? Wouldn't it be horrible to think about being born a sinner in the world, but I can't change that. That was the way I was created, and I can't do anything about it. Oh, but you can do something about it. God, who created all things and created you and me, He had a plan for rectifying that problem of being a sinner. And sin cannot come into the presence of God. No sin can come into the presence of God. Those that come into the presence of God, that holy place called heaven, the throne of God, no sin can enter that place. Being born again, trusting Christ as your Savior, receiving Him as the one requirement for bringing about salvation in your soul, doing that will change you from a person that is totally unacceptable to God and can never stand in God's presence accepted into a person that will be accepted. Has already been accepted. I'm so thankful that Paul wrote in that second chapter of Ephesians, we are already seen as seated in heavenly places in Christ. And let that sink down into your heart and soul. I'm in Christ. That's the place of safety. That's the place where you can escape the judgment and the wrath of God. Has to be a reason for that. The reason is so simple, yet profound. You see, when Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, hung upon the cross, He didn't die for His sin. He didn't have any sin. This plan of God was that there had to be a perfect sacrifice made for sin. Now you take Nicodemus. Here's a man that was well acquainted with all of the Levitical offerings that were made for sin. Animal offerings were brought to the temple. They were put into the hands of the priests. Those animals were slain. Their blood was shed. Those altars were the place where those offerings were placed, and they were offered up to God so that a poor sinner could escape the penalty of his sin. But God was never fully satisfied with those animal offerings. You see, they were like finger signs pointing forward in time to a day when God would send into the world the Lamb of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, who could take away the sin of the whole world. So the animal sacrifices and all of the blood that was shed upon those Jewish altars could never take away the penalty of one sin. You see, Isaiah tells us that God laid upon Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. Your sin, my sin, was laid upon the Son of God. He paid for it. That's God's plan. That's settled. Everyone's sin has been paid for in what Christ did upon the cross. The one that knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That doesn't mean that everybody's saved. He is the Savior of all men, listen to this, especially of those that believe. You're not saved until you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and Paul knew that. The Apostle Paul knew that. You've got to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've got to be born again into the family of God. You need a spiritual birth. A spiritual birth. You don't know anything about your natural birth, do you? You say, I was there. Yeah, you were there, but you don't know a thing in the world about it. And people, as I said, sometimes get saved, and you may say, do you realize you've been born again? No, not really. I don't know. I've never heard of what it means to be born again. Well, you have. You've been born again spiritually. Then you read this passage, and you realize that a spiritual birth is an absolute necessity. You see, it's in the realm of things that are spiritual, things that relate to God. If you don't have it, you might as well say, you have disassociated yourself from the plans and purposes of God. I listened to two men one time for an hour and a half arguing. I guess they would have said debating it. One of them insisted, "You must be born again." He kept pointing to this passage in John chapter 3. He said, "The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said to Nicodemus, 'Ye must be born again. If you are not born again, you will never see the kingdom of God. You will never be acceptable in the presence of God.'" This man made some foolish statements. He said, "Maybe you don't know it, but I am part Jewish." He said, "My mother was Jewish. My father is a Gentile. Therefore, from the very outset of my life, I have always been told that I was very special. I was Jewish. That the Jewish people, as a people, were specially favored of God, chosen as a nation. Not because they were the greatest nation in the world, not because of anything about them that you would have said made them very special, but because He loved them, He chose them to be His earthly people." That still stands. The Jewish people, the Israelites, a special people before God. You know all about their experience of being in Egypt, how they were there in bondage for 400 years, how they were delivered out of that bondage, brought into the promised land. You know all of that. This man said because of that, that he was going to hold on to his heritage as a Jew, a favored person before God. You know, all sorts of things were laid before him that should have opened his eyes, but that man was so determined in his mind that he was going to hold on to what he had always believed and what he put value upon. He wasn't about to change his mind. You'd have to say the God of this world blinds the minds of those who will not believe the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, lest the light of the gospel shine into their hearts and souls. Listen, you've got to leave yourself wide open. Lord, you speak through your word, and I'll get that problem of being dead in trespasses and sins rectified in a moment of time. Pharisees struggled with this. They felt themselves to be very special. The reason I'm, you might say, harping on this is because there are so many religious people in the world today that think because of their religious experience that they are right with God. And if you haven't been born again, you're not right with God. You're not right with God if you haven't been born again. You must be born again. That's what the Lord Jesus told Nicodemus. Well, you know, he raises a question, and it's good logic. How in the world can that be? How in the world is a man going to be born again when he's old? I don't know how old he was, but he was grown. How can you be born again when you're old? I know a man that was born again when he was 86 years old. That was my uncle, James Leathers, and myself, and some others. He was all bound up in a religious order, believed he was right with God, and he held on to it for a long time. But one day, the convicting power of the Spirit of God fell upon his soul, and he realized he was a lost sinner, because that's what the Word of God said. And he had had Scripture, he had this passage read to him a number of times. And yes, he received Christ as his Savior, and he was born again when he was 86 years old. He died when he was 89. You may not be born by natural birth, but one time. And that's when you make your entrance into this world. But you may live a long time in this life and not be born again. God forbid that you die not being born again into the family of God, because that's God's plan. And the Lord Jesus pressed that home upon the heart of this very religious Pharisee, who was a good man. But he just didn't get it. He just didn't get it. He just didn't understand it. And I said that he never did get it. Because the Lord Jesus said at the end of his discussion with him, "That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." It just still stunned him. It set him back. He did not understand what the new birth was all about. The Lord Jesus said this new birth takes place when the Spirit of God comes in and does a work in bringing about conviction of sin and righteousness and judgment. The wind bloweth where it listeth. You know, having read this so many times, I have to confess sometimes when I see a tree and I see the leaves moving, that's the only way you see the wind, you know. It's air in movement. It's air moving. You can't see it unless you see what it does. And it's the same way with being born again. What takes place as a result of this spiritual birth provides all the evidence that you need based upon the Word of God that you have been born again. You become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Paul introduces us to that. A new creation, yes. Every baby born in the world, a new creation, a new soul has been introduced into the human family. And so it is with being born again spiritually. The Spirit of God bringing that conviction of sin and righteousness and judgment based upon the Word of God. It is believed. It is accepted what He has done. Then a change takes place. No, it's not reformation. Take it from somebody that tried reformation. Man, it's hard. You ever tried to confess all of your sin? And you realize, you know, this is too complicated. Every day I'm going to have to review all of my sin and confess it every day to stay right with God. Reformation. I'm going to change. I'm going to stop doing all those old mean things that I've been doing. And I'm going to stay right with God by confessing my sin. There may be one passage of Scripture that comes to mind that may confuse people. It's found in 1 John 1:9, if we sin. It's talking to those that have been born again. Yes, born again believers do sin. They'll have an old nature. Now you have two natures. You have a fallen nature and you have a new nature. And so often you have to decide which one's going to control your life. Am I going to live like a born-again believer in the world? Am I going to have a testimony and a witness to the world that God, in that wonderful, miraculous way, has delivered me out of the realm of spiritual death, made me alive unto God through faith in Christ? Am I going to believe that? And am I going to live like that? That I am a new creation? Well, I'll tell you what. You can take a pig and you can scrub him and wash him up and put a ribbon around his neck and all the other things and put him out where he can get to a mud puddle, and I'll guarantee you that's where he'll go. And you can take a poor old sinner, and he can have a religious experience. He can join the church. He can be baptized. He can take communion. He can do a lot of things that the Word of God sanctions. But that's for believers. Believers' baptism. And those that know the Lord are those that can come and remember the Lord and what He did for them. A poor sinner trying to be reconciled to God on his own terms and by just cleaning up his act doesn't work, because so often after a while, like the pig that went back to the mud puddle, poor old sinner sometimes, he just can't stay away from the mud puddle. The ways of this world, the allurement of the world, and Satan blinding his mind draws him back into that lifestyle sometimes that exposes him to what he really is. Still a poor lost sinner. No power for living that new life that he has in Christ. You need power from God. You can't do it by your own effort. The strongest one of us in this room, or the accumulated power of everyone in this room that says, I won't do it, there's no guarantee you won't do it. In fact, more than likely, you will do it. But the power of God to take a John Newton, the vilest and most contemptible sinner that you've ever seen, and you've seen some of them, you've read about them, you've heard about them, to life was completely changed. They were born again into the family of God, and you could tell it. And I'm telling you this morning, you've been born again, show some evidence of it. Let others know that you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. For Nicodemus, he did not get what the Lord Jesus had for him. In the 9th verse of what we read, he's listened to the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is what tells you he didn't get it. He said, how can these things be? He's struggling. I'm not saying he was a mean, contemptible man. He just didn't understand it. And the Spirit of God had not done a work in his heart. And so, later on, he did. I believe that. You know, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea are the two that went and secured the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and carried it and put it in that tomb whereby no man had ever laid. Nicodemus was there. This man, this Pharisee that came to the Lord Jesus by night, he later took a stand. That tells me something took place in his life. I believe I'll see Nicodemus in heaven. You could go up to him and say, man, you really had a struggle with that business of being born again, didn't you? He'd say, yes, I did. But I was born again. And I did come to know the Lord. And I did trust Christ. And that's the reason why I'm here in heaven. And if you're ever in heaven, it's going to be because you've been born again. So I ask you to ask yourself the question this morning, do you know for sure that you've been born again? You know, the Spirit of God bears witness to our spirit that we have been born again. That's a work of the Spirit of God. That conviction in your soul. I hate sin. I hate things that God hates. I hate sin. And I love God because He first loved me. And I have, by the grace of God, been able to walk a pathway in this life. I've adopted a lifestyle that proves that my citizenship is not in this heaven, in this world, it's in heaven. And that's where I'm going when I die. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, Nicodemus heard those words. These are the words spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. He also heard that light is come into the world. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world, He was standing in the very presence of that mighty light that came down from heaven and that was shining into the hearts of men. But men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. You know, God forbid that a believer would ever have a love affair with his sin and what he loves, sin. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Poor sinners trying to clean up the act have that love affair going on with their sin. The consequences of sin, the wages of sin is death. And the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Nicodemus got born again, but it was a struggle. I don't know where you stand this morning. If you're in this room and you say, I still don't know whether I'm born again or not. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved and you will be born again. And then you read the Word of God. You read the words of the Lord Jesus because He said over and over to this poor man, you must be born again. You must be born again. So when someone says, I'm a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can say, yes, brother, sister, and there ain't no other kind. Have you been born again? Our Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, your holy, beloved Son, the one that came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, Lord, we thank Thee this morning that we have trusted Your Son. We're so thankful that the Spirit of God has been able to overpower every inhibition we ever had to resist any longer. The holy power of God and that conviction of sin and righteousness and judgment. Lord, we surrendered and we trusted Your Son and we were born again into the family of God. And we pray today that across the face of the earth, wherever the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached, that souls will trust the Savior and be born again. In His precious name we ask this. Amen. Michael has a verse from the hymn.